Those verses are going to be so real. Sometimes scripture, some things in scripture seem abstract to a different time or to a different part of the world. But this blessing that's going to come from being persecuted for the sake of righteousness, having all kind of evil things said about us, even falsely, on account of Jesus is coming. It's here, actually. And it's going to spread, but we're going to be able to thank them for the blessing that's ours as a result. We won't hate them. We'll thank them. And I believe this is beyond these walls, but we've come into us suddenly. I believed it was birthed on Mother's Day, not just here, but around the world, where the opportunity to be drawn into a larger experience is ours. And it's for the hungry. And I believe that what God's going to be doing is that the hunger is going to be like a contagion. And it's the hunger, it's the hungry heart that are going to infect other Christians and even the lost who want to hunger for something worth actually obtaining. It's a very powerful time we've come into. So I'm torn whether I want to talk about God's hunger or our hunger, but I think we'll talk about God's hunger first because that's where it all starts. There's two scriptures that I want you to hear in terms of what God's hungry for. This is Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Again, that's the large place that's ours in Christ. And anytime we move from glory to glory, we're simply moving into a larger experience of the large place that's already ours. You and I possess every spiritual blessing in heavenly places because we're in Christ, but I don't know anybody who is actually experiencing every one of them. And so the movement in the Spirit when God does something in a time like this, when there's like this kairos moment where God just births an opportunity to cross over into a larger experience, is powerful. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself. In other words, that we would participate in the sonship relationship Jesus has with the Father. Stunning. And this is all according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he bestowed on us in the beloved. Wow. That we would, the reason we're co-heirs with Christ is because it's the Spirit of Jesus that's in us crying, Abba, Father. I was created to participate in the life of God at a Jesus level. And the experience, we talk about the gospel being our inclusion into the life of Christ and the favor he lives under. See, in this scripture is the one place in Ephesians, 27 times the phrase in Christ is used. But this one, he's referred to as in the beloved. He's not, it says in the beloved. He refers to Jesus as the beloved. And you and I have been placed in union with the one called the beloved. And we get to experience the beloved's relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's just amazing. It's said a different way in Colossians chapter 3, a real familiar passage of scripture. The older I get, I understand more like the image in Revelation 4, There are the angels, the four angels that surround the throne, and they're beholding Jesus, and they have thousands of eyes, and they're constantly saying, holy, 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 holy. And Mike Bickle translates that phrase, holy, 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 there is transcendent beauty. And the reason that they all need thousands of eyes is because every fresh glimpse of Jesus makes them erupt with holy, holy, transcendent beauty. Other, the word trans, holy just means other, different, unique. And so they have all these eyes because there's every second's a fresh revelation. I think that's kind of happening a lot now. It's like God's just doing some things. I just dare you to get in the Word. And I believe that you'll kind of have that thing on you, like going, oh my gosh, I've read that scripture a thousand times. Holy, holy moly. This is very familiar. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Remember the phrase I've been using lately? I didn't invent that phrase. Someone else did. That God's plan all along is that we would be woven into Jesus' existence. We would be woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence. That's a great description of union. God's plan all along is that we would be woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence. The one who said that must have gotten that from this verse. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you're being revealed with him in glory. But I think when we read that scripture, like, your life is hidden with Christ in God, kind of like that he's the vine, you're the branch. So like there's like these two different entities. You're the branch, he's the vine, and you're a vine, branch attached to the vine. And the truth is, the branch is part of the vine. They're one. The branch is just the part of the vine that bears fruit. They're one. And so when he says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ, doesn't mean there's you all snuggled up in Jesus. The word hidden there is the word concealed into Jesus, or hidden in the person of Jesus. Not snuggled up, but hidden, concealed in him, as if you were woven into the very fabric of his existence. Now that's the big dream. That's God's great plan. That's the thing that Jesus came to accomplish. Mankind was created to share in the very existence, life of God, participate in all that he is, all that he has. The virus came in called sin. God had a plan. The plan was very simply Jesus. Put everything broken, yucky, in Jesus, and then raise up a whole new people that are now hidden, concealed in Christ and God. Their relationship with God is his relationship, woven into his relationship, concealed in him, sewn into so they like become one. Remember, I guess it was cross-stitching, is that what she used to do, or needlepoint, whatever? When Olivia, when we first got married, she was going to make this huge blanket. Was that crocheting? Yeah, it was, I think she did needlepoint and crochet. Anyway, but I remember that she had saw all these different colors and become like this one thing. That's a beautiful picture of union. And see, the thing about that, that's God's heart, that's God's design. And when mankind fell, God didn't give up on that. He just like pursued with eyes of fire, regardless of what it was going to cost him, prepared to suffer, that we might know that life and life more abundant. And so I love in Matthew 26, I think it's verse 47, when Jesus is in Gethsemane, and it's the one time when he goes back and prays a second time, and he said, Father, if this won't pass away until I drink the cup, then I'll drink the cup. And what he was talking about was that, like, as a result of the fall, instead of God coming into the garden and condemning man, expressing how disappointed he was, man, pouring out retribution, threatening with vengeance, he went, no, I didn't create you for ruination. I didn't create you to experience the appalling suffering and pain and misery and destruction. I created you that you might participate in my life, to know life and life more abundant. I created you for this, that your life would be hidden, concealed in the very life of Jesus, that you would get to share with all that we have in the relationship and the provision and all that kind of stuff. And so that's why the thirsting heart of God at the cross, when Jesus cried out, I thirst, He was echoing this. He said, this is all because I would not say it's okay. I refused to be okay with the reign of sin bringing such human destruction and devastation that people would destroy each other. Betty Brennan used to call it the man's inhumanity to man. I refuse. I would not let you perish. The word ruin. So all of this was our thirsting that all of your brokenness can be taken away by your union with me. And the reign of sin in your life would be conquered. I thirst to make you whole. I thirst for you. This is all because I don't want to see you depressed and anxious and bitter. All this stuff that comes from the reign of sin. Because you were created for your life to be concealed in Christ in relationship with God. That's just amazing to me. And so all that's happening right now in this thing that God's birthing is, do you understand his thirsting heart? And his thirsting heart wasn't that you would know ankle-deep water or knee-deep water or waist-deep water. We're not talking about the experience of your life being hidden in Christ, with Christ, in God. I want you to experience it all. You were created for it all. Kind of like in Deuteronomy 6 when he told them in the wilderness, I brought you out of the land of Egypt to bring you in. And so we live in a time where I think we're hearing the hunger that God is looking for is actually God carries the original virus. We're catching the virus of hunger. God's hunger, the thirsting heart of God saying, I thirst. I went through all this because I thirst for you to know, to experience fully God's dream for you. And his dream is bigger than ours. He's wanted us to catch a vision of that. And when we catch a vision of all that God has, that large room he's placed us in, we want to cross over, break through into our larger experience. And I believe that this is a season for hunger. But I think the body of Christ has to see what God's hungry for us to experience. So many Christians have settled for what they have because they don't know that there's more. You are in union with the beloved. That's who you are. That's what it says. That's big. When Levi and I got married, we put in our rings. I'm not wearing the ring for a while because it's a little small. But in a ring, we had Psalm 34:3. When I asked her to marry me, that was the psalm. It was, come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And the reason that was important is you can't make God bigger than he is, but when you magnify something, you see it bigger. And this is a season where God's wanting his people to see it bigger, how large that room really is. And it's become the great intention of their heart to seek those things which are above, to set their mind on things above. For you are died. You have died. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. This is a time. And Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you offer us. Thank you that you didn't give up on us. Don't give up on us. Thank you for this large room that Jesus went to prepare for us, this place in him, in the beloved. And all that that means. And thank you, Lord, for this season. You've birthed a season called hunger. Because only the hungry, the scripture says, are satisfied. We bless you, Lord.